If you like the Young Turks podcast, I think you'll love a lot of the podcasts on the TYT network. Old School, it's one of my favorites, one of the favorites for a lot of the listeners. Please check that out, subscribe, share it. That makes a big difference, and give it a 5-star rating. Thank you. Trump's presidency, drop it. All right, power, 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 power panel. Mark Thompson, Cenk Uygur, and Johnny Pie, John Iderola is here. Okay, so tick, 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 tick,
that's
tick.
That's the graphic you need. You need a tick, tick, tick graphic. I can't believe, do we have a tick, tick, tick graphic?
You know, we don't, but you are 100% right that we need one. Graphics department on it right now.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and it doesn't have to be a rush job. They probably have like 2 to 6 years to get it done.
Or 2 to 6 days.
Ooh. So,
well, as you're about to see in our first story, that is what some folks think. So, some Republicans think. So, we're going to get to that obviously imminently. Got a lot of great stories for you guys, of course, as always, including the end of the Trump presidency. Furthermore, bad news, the end of the planet. So, the story about the oceans heating up is devastating, devastating. Story on income inequality, devastating. So, lots of good news, lots of bad news. That's what we do on the Young Turks. Okay, I'm ready. Let's do it, John.
Okay, let's do it. Let's have a little bit of fun. On air, some Fox hosts are implying that this whole Ukraine thing, this whole impeachment thing, there's nothing there. It's going to go away very soon. Others are taking it very seriously. Behind the scenes, bedlam, apparently, according to a new Vanity Fair article from Gabriel Sherman. This quote certainly stands out. It's management bedlam. This massive thing happened and no one knows how to cover it, which is perhaps why so many different shows are covering it in such different ways and in fact feuding with each other, as we're going to get to in a little bit. Apparently this morning, Sean Hannity told Friends that the whistleblower's allegations are, quote, really bad. A person briefed on Hannity's conversations told the author. Hannity did not respond to a request for comment. But why would he? So obviously on his show, he has been gung-ho 100%. There is nothing here. Our focus should instead be on a variety of several-year-old right-wing conspiracy theories. Behind the scenes, he's telling his friends, no, this is actually pretty serious.
Yeah. So let's be clear. They don't really, not really, they don't have any defense. So I'm going to explain it for the 17th time because apparently Fox News hosts don't understand it. Although to be fair, that is not really, they're now beginning to be significantly split. So last night we talked to you about the Fox News Civil War, Tucker Carlson and Shep Smith at each other's throats. So we got more news on that in a second. Chris Wallace continues it with today. Chris Wallace with not only damning quotes about Trump, but also going after his fellow Fox News host again. So this war will not abate at Fox News because some of them have broken ranks and going, no, it's just, it's illegal. There's nothing, it's just a lie to say it's not illegal. So let me explain why it's illegal for the 100th time for people who haven't heard it before or have listened to conservative news and have never gotten facts. They keep saying as a defense, like Ainsley Earhart did, well, there's no quid pro quo. First of all, that's not true. There already is quid pro quo. In that call, plus let alone whatever they're hiding in the secret database, but you don't need quid pro quo at all. So it's so easy to show you guys. So if Bernie Sanders were to go to a foreign government, like let's say North Korea, right? And he says, hey, when you're talking to Donald Trump, Kim Jong-un, can you do a quick favor for me? Just like Trump said, a favor, right? Just do me a favor, put a bug on him. And then tell me everything that he's saying, because I want to use it as dirt in my political campaign. But Sanders does not promise Kim Jong-un anything in return. Would that be illegal? The answer is yes, it would definitely be illegal. And so when Trump asks for a favor from a foreign government to help his political campaign, that's already illegal. It does not need to be followed up by, and then I promise you I'll give you a dozen roses, box of chocolates or $400 million of military aid. It's already illegal, 100% illegal, indisputably illegal. And I've actually haven't heard what the Republican defense of that is, other than squirrel, right? Mm-hmm. So they're like, oh, no quid pro quo. But Hunter Biden did something. But there's no actual defense because it is indefensible. It is the most obviously illegal thing that we have seen. In fact, guys, I'm going to go right now because this just happened a little bit before we went live. Chris Wallace's quotes.
I've got one.
You have them? Okay, so go ahead, John.
We're going to jump to the last graphic in this. This is one thing Chris Wallace said. The spinning that has been done by the president's defenders over the last 24 hours since this very damaging whistleblower complaint came out, the spinning is astonishing and I think deeply misleading. He is being just vague enough there that the people who he's definitely talking about at Fox News can't say that he attacked them. And we'll get into why he's worried about being very specific there in a little bit. But he's clearly talking about hosts on Fox News that are using White House approved talking points to defend him and to distract from the issue.
So I've got even more on Chris Wallace in a minute as we give you more details. But I want to go to a little exchange that he had with Sandra Smith, who was the host that he was talking to on Fox News at the time. Sandra Smith interrupts him at one point to say, well, hey, there's no quid pro quo, because that's their main deflection point here. And Wallace says, you asked the question, let me answer it, Sandra. He says, you don't think that dirt on the vice president and his son's activities would be of value to a president seeking re-election? Now, the reason he frames it that way is because in the law, soliciting a campaign contribution, whether it's cash or an in-kind donation of anything of value from a foreign government, is illegal. So that's why Wallace is saying, you don't think dirt on your political opponent is anything of value? I mean, it's preposterous to say that it doesn't have value. Of course it does. In fact, it's going to cost Ukraine a lot of money to go through, if they were to go through an investigation, go through a prosecution, get that information to Donald Trump. It is inarguable that it is of value. It is inarguable Donald Trump solicited. It is inarguable that Ukraine is a foreign government. So that is why Chris Wallace, still a journalist, a very conservative one, but a journalist on Fox News going, I read the law, I'm a sentient human being. Mm-hmm. It's obviously illegal, is his implication here.
Well, they're propagandists at Fox, so I don't expect them to let go of this, but Cenk's making an important point, which is slowly they are letting go of it. Even guys who have been leading the propaganda parade are beginning to let go of this. And that, in some sense, you look to Fox News as sort of a bellwether for the Trump presidency. And as they begin to let go, you think, politically, he may be taking on some water. And if he takes on enough water, more people will turn on him. And I'm talking about Republican legislators will turn on him as well.
Yeah.
20 delirious tweets in 14 hours. You can tell how much trouble Trump is in by the ferocity and velocity of his tweets. Mm-hmm. So the more trouble he's in, and this has happened a couple of times before when things got really bad, and before the Democrats let him off the hook each time, right? But as things get bad and Trump realizes, he's like, witch hunt, hoax, witch hunt, Fox News, help me, right? And so that's exactly what's happening here. It's funny that you use that analogy, Mark. Yesterday, I started the show by saying the ship's head is in the water and it's starting to rise. Mm-hmm. And as Anna pointed out, at some point, it's gonna break off before it all goes in the water.
Yeah, yeah, and you pointed out the nature of what it would take for it to be a crime. One of the other evasions, they have a variety of different evasions, is just a concern about corruption, because Donald Trump genuinely cares about corruption in Ukraine. He only brings up two instances of it in his view. One is the Democratic nominee in 2016 that he ran against. The other at the time was the front runner in this presidential election. Like, come on, he's not even trying to hide it. He's not smart enough to pretend. Look up a name of a Ukrainian who was corrupt and name that person too. Pretend that it has anything to do other than your own personal political interests. But anyway, on the Fox stuff, there are apparently plans in place in case this does turn against him, as Sean Hannity implied that it could potentially. According to four sources, the CEO of Fox Corp, Lachlan Murdoch, is already thinking about how to position the network for a post-Trump future. A person close to Lachlan told me that Fox News has been the highest rated cable network for 17 years, and the success has never depended on any one administration. And what's really interesting about this, and also sad, and I love that this is in the story, I totally wouldn't have expected this person to pop up once again. Among the powerful voices advising Lachlan that Fox should decisively break with the president is former House Speaker Paul Ryan, who joined the Fox board in March. Quote, Paul is embarrassed about Trump, and now he has the power to do something about it.
Yeah.
Unlike when he was actually in office.
Unlike when you
was the saddest thing ever.
No, but that really does is very telling of our current political environment. That the Speaker of the House for the Republican Party thought there was nothing he could do about the Republican president, even though the Speaker of the House is arguably the second most powerful political office in the country. But if you're on the board of Fox News, well, then you might be able to do something about the president, right?
Oh,
but guys, it's by the way, yes, the pictures are very funny next to me.
Okay. That's
from his 70s sitcom. Is that what those pictures are?
But this goes to two things that I've been telling you from day one. Why was I positive Donald Trump wouldn't make it to the end of his presidency? One is too stupid to cover things up, right? And what did John tell you earlier? Jesus Christ, dude, 1 minute of homework. Say to a staffer, name me one corrupt guy in Ukraine so I could make it seem like I actually care about corruption, right? You know what? Give me an instance of corruption anywhere else in the world I can talk about so I could say, like, oh my God, you know what's happening in Malaysia? And then Petreshkov in Ukraine. I mean, I'm really worried about it. But hey, turns out we've got our own problems. I mean, look at Biden, right?
Yeah.
But instead, he's like, hey, I want stuff on Biden and his son and the CrowdStrike thing that Hillary did. That's why I care about corruption in Ukraine. Yeah. God, you're so stupid. Dumbest man alive. The reporters keep trying to figure out, like, what's his strategy? There's no strategy. Come on, man. There's no strategy.
Jake,
look at the guy.
Fool, you've walked right into his trap.
No, by the way, Tucker Carlson said it, my favorite line today. I'm glad you reminded me of that. He wrote an op-ed on his own website, and he said, you know, the Democrats might really be destroying themselves by trying to impeach Trump. Oh, Tucker, are you concerned about the Democrats?
Yeah.
That's my favorite thing in the world, the fall concern. Like, oh, poor Democrats. Mm-hmm. I mean, look, I don't mind you impeaching Trump, but I just feel really bad that you guys are destroying yourselves.
Yeah.
I'm trying to look out for you guys.
I always turn to Tucker Carlson and Meghan McCain for progressive political strategy because they're always so concerned about us.
Yeah.
By the way, me joking that this is some sort of trap that we've walked into is not to say that it won't blow up in the Democrats' faces. But if it does, it will not be because of the political machinations of Donald Trump. It'll be the incompetence of Democratic leadership.
Oh, it could be.
As it always is.
That's so true. It could very easily blow up. But you're right. There's nothing premeditated about all of this. Trump just, he can't get out of his own way. But you're right. The Democrats still have work to do, right?
Yeah. And by the way, unlike the liars at Fox News, or by the way, the remaining liars, because some of them, it turns out, are actually honest but conservative, which there's nothing wrong with. Like, I'll say, hey, if you support Donald Trump in the impeachment, like Susan Collins, then at least five Republican senators will definitely lose their elections. But I don't do it with like faux concern, like, oh, Susan Collins, I'm so worried about you. You might lose your election. No, I want you to lose your election. If you support Donald Trump and you vote with him, I'm going to be ecstatic when you lose. So see, that's the difference between someone who's honest and a liar. Okay, anyway, so the second thing that why Donald Trump wouldn't be able to get away with it is, that I've been telling you about, is he burns too many bridges. Not on the other side, on his own side. So he slap Paul Ryan around when Paul Ryan was Speaker of the House, because Paul Ryan didn't want Trump to win the primary in the first place. And then when the Access Hollywood tapes came out, Paul Ryan said that they were terrible, etc. And Trump never forgave him for that. And while Bannon was in the White House, he would have Breitbart write one article after another about how Paul Ryan shouldn't be Speaker of the House. He was terrible and incompetent and a loser. I mean, it was clear Trumpian language in the article, right? Paul Ryan saw that and stored that away because he's weak, right? And he's sad little boy like Lindsey Graham and Mitch McConnell. But now that Trump can't touch him anymore and he's on the Fox board, he's like, oh, you should get Trump, right? But there's a lot of Republicans like that. Jeff Flake says there are 30, he's a former Republican senator. He just retired, right? He says, I was just in Senate. There's 35 Republicans that would vote against him in impeachment if it was a secret vote. Wow. He has incinerated bridges on his own side, and eventually that catches up with you.
Yeah.
And speaking of burnt bridges, Gabe Sherman's absolutely right. Fox News is his last bulwark. And actually, Jake Tapper talked about it today. He said Nixon didn't have Fox News and didn't have trolls online. If he did, he might have survived. So Nixon just committed crimes. Everybody admitted they were crimes and he was out. Trump commits crimes, Fox News goes, no, it's not. It's not a crime, it's roses. What, right? Plus squirrel. And so, and then the trolls attack online, and then the media feels like, oh, I guess we gotta go 50-50, whether it's crimes or not crimes.
Yeah.
And by the way, the media's done a pretty good job, but they're still having debates over things that are not debatable. And so he's right about that. But now I go back to Chris Wallace. He said, for all the efforts of a lot of people defending the president, to defend this as nothing, this isn't nothing, this is something. And he goes on to say that it is very deeply troubling. So if this continues, and oh my God, if he loses Hannity, it's over. He'll resign.
He won't lose Hannity.
But he won't lose him. He won't lose him publicly. It seems unimaginable.
I mean, Hannity will wait until the last White House light is off before he lets go of Trump.
Yeah.
Well, in terms of who's going to be lost too, I think it'll be interesting to see if Fox is having some sort of internal debate about should we stick with him and hope that, especially with us, that he can just get through it, or should we position ourselves for when he's gone, you know, sort of preemptively sort of move away, distance ourselves. It'll be interesting to see who gets fired first, either Paul Ryan from the board or Shep Smith from his show.
Oh, that's, yeah.
Yeah.
And I also want to say, when I say that Hannity won't let go of him, I'm not just being snide there. I think that there are a lot of ways to maintain your loyalty and sort of leave this issue of right and wrong aside. I mean, even Nixon, you know, when he resigned, he just felt, I don't want to burden the nation with this. You know, you look for whatever high ground or, you know, ridiculous high ground there might be. I think that that's what Sean Hannity will do all along. He will find some rationale for why he doesn't let go of this man who is, doesn't come from political life. He comes from a civilian life. He's trying to do things, but he couldn't, you know, he couldn't stand up to the witch hunt.
Yeah. You know, look, I can't help myself but be honest here. I actually think Fox News should not abandon Donald Trump. So I would love it if they do, and it would help Trump to go under. It would help prove my prediction right. But a billion times more important is it would get this madman out of office and a guy who committed crimes. It would restore rule of law, etc. But if you're asking my honest opinion on where their viewers are, their viewers don't mind criminality at all.
Yeah.
They don't mind immorality at all. But if you betray the mob boss, they will probably mind that.
Yeah.
So look, if you're anyone who is overestimating the morality of the Fox News audience, you've made a terrible mistake. So that's where I think it comes down to. But I think that the Murdochs, the younger generation, Lachlan Murdoch, are embarrassed of Fox News, and it costs them business interests throughout the world. They couldn't do a merger in the UK because they're like, you guys are monsters. I mean, look at the nonsense. Yeah. You say you do news, but look at Fox News, they don't do news at all. And outside of America, where we're not constantly bombarded by propaganda of the right wing, in other places in the world, since they are not exposed to that insanity of the false equivalency of lies and truth, they realize, no, Fox News is nothing but lies. So it's, they can't get things approved in other countries. They're like, you guys are the ones that spread all the lies in America. And so it might not be right for Fox News, but it might be right overall for the Fox Corporation to go against Trump.
This is a key point, and I'm so glad you've made it, because I don't think that in any of these, in the Vanity Fair piece or in any of these accounts of what's going on at Fox News, you can see a conscience necessarily in Lachlan Murdoch. But what Cenk is talking about is very important. They have other business interests internationally that are being affected by this. And so when you start affecting their bottom line, that's different, and that necessitates potential changes.
Yeah,
and one last marker for you guys that I think you'll enjoy. If you start to hear conservative pundits, especially on Fox News, but anywhere, and conservative legislators start to talk about how great Mike Pence is, tick, 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 that means there's only 2 weeks left, okay? Maybe less, but that means they're starting to go, well, I mean, Pence is not so bad. Pence not so bad. We could be all right with Pence. In fact, Sean Hannity is probably going through that mentally right now. He might not say it on air yet, but he's thinking, well, I mean, Pence is an evangelical, a fundamentalist Christian, actually arguably more right wing than Donald Trump. Pence not so bad, Pence not so bad. You start to hear it on air and Trump is gone. That means they've already made the calculations. They've already gotten to the place in their head where they're okay with Pence. Bye-bye.
First break.
All right, let's do a break. And when we come back, we move on to bad news.
We need to talk about a relatively new show called the Republic, or UNFTR. As a Young Turks fan, you already know that the government, the media, and corporations are constantly peddling lies that serve the interests of the rich and powerful. But now there's a podcast dedicated to unraveling those lies, debunking the conventional wisdom. In each episode of On the Republic, or UNFTR, the host delves into a different historical episode or topic that's generally misunderstood or purposely obfuscated by the so-called powers that be, featuring in-depth research, razor-sharp commentary, and just the right amount of vulgarity. The UNFTR podcast takes a sledgehammer to what you thought you knew about some of the nation's most sacred historical cows. But don't just take my word for it. The New York Times described UNFTR as consistently compelling and educational, aiming to challenge conventional wisdom and upend the historical narratives that were taught in school. For as the great philosopher Yoda once put it,
"You must unlearn what you have learned."
And that's true whether you're in Jedi training or you're uprooting and exposing all the propaganda and disinformation you've been fed over the course of your lifetime. So search for UNFDR in your podcast app today and get ready to get informed, angered, and entertained all at the same time.
Right back. Back on the Young Turks. Lots of comments, fun comments, so big comments, strong comments. So we're gonna do them. Okay, first member section is always tyt.com/join to become a member. Keldo Had writes in, the utter chaos on Fox News is so wonderful. Right there with your brother. Madness writes in, does it strike anyone else as weird that corporate Dems and their media cronies seem to believe they're completely immune to Oppo research, especially considering there are many examples of similar corruption on their side? Shouldn't we strive for equal enforcement? Otherwise, the law is moot. Well, it depends on what you mean. So if, for example, if you're talking about Hunter Biden being on the board of a Ukrainian gas company at $50,000 a month, is he on there because he's a Ukrainian gas specialist? No, he's on there because his last name is Biden. 100%, I won't even have that conversation. So is that a form of corruption? Yes. Is it illegal? Unfortunately, no, it's not illegal. So you can, if you're a family member of a powerful person in Washington, you can cash in all day long, and that's how they all get money to their families. That's why they don't really want to talk about that. It's really uncomfortable. But when Biden goes and says, "I won't give you $1 billion unless you get rid of this prosecutor," if the prosecutor was actively prosecuting the company that his son was on the board of, and he did that with knowledge, yes, then it would be the same exact problem as Donald Trump. But as it turns out, I'm not taking Biden's word for it. Biden said, "I didn't talk to my son." That doesn't mean anything, right? No, as it turns out, that prosecutor had stopped investigating that company, and all the world bodies wanted that prosecutor out. And so, and by the way, the ambassador and the official American position was, we think you should continue the investigation into the company that Hunter Biden was on the board of. So that is monumentally important. That's the exact opposite of quid pro quo.
Right, but he was essentially visiting against the interests of his own son.
He said, get the prosecutor out. That prosecutor at some point had gone after Hunter Biden's company, the company that he's on the board of. But the official American position at the same time was, yes, get the prosecutor out like Joe said. But the one thing you guys should continue is the investigation into Hunter Biden's company.
Yeah.
So that is an honest position, the correct position. The ambassador happened to deliver that, but it's still the same thing. It's the American government.
Right.
But I still think if we want to show the world how much we care about corruption, I think a good faith thing we could do is ask Biden to also step down out of the campaign. Just in case, it couldn't hurt.
That might be a little biased on our part.
You can send a tweet if you want, John, see how that goes.
Yeah, I will.
Okay, now other fun things, that was important, but Eclectic Miscellaneous says, why isn't TYT starting with the most important story of the day, that Trump doesn't know the difference between an apostrophe and a hyphen? That's impeachable by itself. The fact that the guy's a moron is not breaking news. Valerie says, the ship's head is underwater, big water, ocean water.
Oh, come on. I was just going to use that for this intro. I'm still going to do it.
Valerie, really great job. I don't know how we get people t-shirts anymore, but get Valerie a t-shirt somehow from shoptyt.com. Last couple ones here. Poetry in Motion says, yes, the hashtag TYT Live works on Roku TV. Looking fly as always. Hey, we're on Roku. I was gonna say today, we're exclusively on Roku, Pluto, Zumo, YouTube TV, and our website today, not on YouTube Live, okay? But we're on all those platforms every day. And so if you tune in randomly as I did, you'll catch Damage Report, which is John's show. You can catch No Filter, you can catch Old School, etc. So all of our shows, 24 hours, cable news channel, boom, period.
And I was going to say that you are looking fly. It's as though the words are taken right away from you.
That's so funny. All right, last one. Adam Leith says, yay, Mark Thompson in the house.
No.
This Friday just gets better and better.
Nice.
Okay.
Nice.
All right, you know thank you guys.
I normally don't care about these sorts of topics, but because Mark is here, I figured I'd give you an environmental story.
Oh, thank you. I know you don't really cover that much.
But anyway, we're gonna move it now. Here in America, we are surrounded by water. Big water, ocean water. And apparently there's problems with that water, according to a UN report that was just put out this week, compiling the work of tons and tons of different climate scientists. There is a lot in here and it is scary, but it's also important for you to understand. So let's jump into a few of the conclusions of this incredibly important report. The warming climate is killing coral reefs, supercharging monster storms, and fueling deadly marine heat waves and record losses of sea ice. Let's run through a few of those. What does this actually look like? Well, ocean surface temperatures have been warming steadily since 1970. And for the past 25 years or so, they've been warming twice as fast. So not only is this process continuing, I don't know what you're hearing on right-wing media, but it is continuing and it is in fact accelerating. Things are only getting worse in the last few years. One consequence of this is that summer Arctic sea ice is now probably lower than at any time in at least 1,000 years. And the oldest, thickest ice has already declined by 90%. I love records, but this is not the sort of record that humanity can bear at this point. The lowest in 1,000 years, that's significant.
The upper layers of the ocean have lost between 0.5% and 3.3% of their oxygen since 1970, as the temperatures have risen. There are now heat waves in the ocean. So now you might not notice the heat waves because you're not in the ocean and you're of course not going to be able to perceive that. They are monumentally important. So they're important not only for the fish, but also for the birds that feed off the fish, and then obviously eventually to humans. So let me give you just tip of the iceberg here, of the melting iceberg as it were. So when the oceans get warmer, there are pathogens that build in the oceans. And so when the pathogens build, they then move on to the fish. And so if you're eating raw fish like oysters and shellfish, it can get you sick. In fact, 80,000 Americans each year get sick from those seafoods, those particular seafoods, because of the pathogens in the water, let alone the rest of the world. That's just 80,000 Americans. So if you got sick and you went to the hospital and you had to pay $800 or $8,000, or maybe it bankrupted you, and plus all the horrors that you had to go through when you were sick, etc., you might think, oh, well, it's bad luck. I ate an oyster and it turned out that it got me sick. It's not bad luck. You know whose fault that is? ExxonMobil. Mm-hmm. Seriously. Now, is it just ExxonMobil? Of course not. I use them as an example. But the people that are putting the carbon in the air, it is heating up the planet, including the oceans, which does lead to the pathogens, which does actually make 80,000 Americans sick. And it costs you all that money. Now, ExxonMobil is one of the most profitable companies in the world. They took home all the profits. Did they give you your $8,000 bill? No, you had to pay it.
Yeah.
So what they do is they privatize the gains and they socialize the costs. So in a sense, it's a weird form of socialism where only the costs are spread out to all of you. And I'm telling you, that is one of dozens and dozens of ways that it affects you. There was a blob of a heat wave in 2013 and 2014 in a particular part of the ocean. It led to the birds dying and then the fish getting affected, etc., which then led to fisheries being closed down in California and British Columbia. And that went all the way down the supply chain. You know what that did? That cost you jobs. So let alone the food chain. So when it costs you jobs, you thought, hey, bad luck, man. My fishery was closed down, or I couldn't get that trucking job because the British Columbia fishery got closed down. It wasn't bad luck. It was the cost of the fossil fuel industry being passed on to you. They won't pay their costs. They won't pay their costs. They make you pay it. Does that sound fair to you? Let alone the destruction of the planet.
Yeah. Yeah, like AOC says, how are we ever going to pay for not having the Green New Deal? We just can't afford it. That cost is too high. And we have a couple of other specific things that we're gonna get into here. But one part that I want people to understand that I don't think gets talked about very often, it's likely that a lot of our audience is gonna know. But one of the important things to think about when you finally acknowledge that the ocean is heating up is that as bad as things have been getting in the atmosphere, on land, you've been paying attention, you know that it's been getting hotter. All this time, about a quarter of all the carbon dioxide that we've been putting out has not been going into the air, it's been absorbed into the ocean. And apparently something like 90% of all the excess heat that's been building up, that hasn't been going to the air, it's been going to the ocean. The ocean has been soaking up all of this stuff. But it can't do that forever. Eventually it will be tapped out. And when that happens, you don't get a slight increase at the rate of heating on land and in the atmosphere. It suddenly jumps up. That is going to be a major shock to the world system that I don't think a lot of people even know that is coming.
That's the great, I'm so glad you explained that, because that's the great fact that's looming, you know. That what Cenk was talking about, that this acidification of the ocean, they're basic chemical processes that are being played out in the ocean. But what John is talking about is sort of a tipping point, and this thing that is acting as sort of a sink that absorbs all this CO2, it's running out of its ability to do that. As we generate more and more CO2, the Earth is cooking itself, and the ocean's ability to offset that is going to be completely gone soon. So that resource, as a check on CO2 content, that will be gone as well. And these huge dead zones that exist in the ocean, this is to Cenk's point, if you talk to fishermen, they will tell you, hey, it's just not like it used to be. It's not like it used to be 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. So these are dramatic changes, and the changes will become even more dramatic and even more dire in the years to come.
Yeah. Look, once we've screwed up the ocean, you can't un-F the ocean. So like these conservatives go around like, don't worry about it, man. The scientists will fix it. How are the scientists supposed to fix the temperature of the ocean?
Ice, presumably.
Jesus Christ, man. And then you remember that guy on Fox News, the one that writes for Ben Shapiro's website? He went on and said Greta Thunberg, the wonderful Swedish girl who's trying to get us to pay attention to these facts. He called her a mentally ill child. And he said, well, if you know this was a real movement, it would be led by scientists and not by mentally ill children. But it is led by scientists, and you won't listen to them. So in fact, guys, I gotta tell you, this is the most important thing. This report that we're referring to was written by more than 100 international experts and based on more than 7,000 studies. The jury is in. The scientists have spoken, and the scientists are usually mild-mannered people, and they are shouting from the rooftops. It's getting too late. We can't undo the damage. And then idiots go on Fox News and go, well, if the scientists were saying it, what do you mean if the scientists were saying it? They're all saying it. Look, if you didn't know how bad it was before you heard stories like this, and before you realize it's all of the world's scientists, like in a disaster movie, warning us over and over again, that's okay. But technically, you would be ignorant. And look, I've been ignorant about certain things, and I learned them. In fact, even on climate change, back when I was a Republican 20 years ago, I was like, well, I don't know about that. And then the temperature kept rising and rising, and I was like, oh, now I know, right? Okay, but if you know this information and you just heard it, and you still go, no, me smarter than all scientists in the world. Me know ocean acidification better than they do. Well, then you're stupid. If you understand what the scientists are saying about climate change and you don't believe them, you are a stupid person. So we're having conversations with people that are barely out of the mental asylum. Mm-hmm. And that's the insane debate that's happening here. The rest of the world is looking at us like, what are you guys doing? We're all in the Paris Accords, and that won't even get the job done. And you morons have left, and you're not gonna participate as we all boil to death? So this is the situation at hand.
Yeah. Why don't we take our second break?
Okay.
There's a lot of stuff to get to.
Yeah.
That'll free up some time.
All right, when we come back, more Fox News, more Giuliani, more madness. Lots of fights, and the fight with Geraldo is funny. The fight on Giuliani is important, so we'll talk about that.
At TYT, we frequently talk about all the ways that big tech companies are taking control of our online lives, constantly monitoring us and storing and selling our data. But that doesn't mean we have to let them. It's possible to stay anonymous online and hide your data from the prying eyes of big tech. And one of the best ways is with ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN hides your IP address, making your active ID more difficult to trace and sell to advertisers. ExpressVPN also encrypts 100% of your network data to protect you from eavesdroppers and cyber criminals. And it's also easy to install. A single mouse click protects all your devices. But listen, guys, this is important. ExpressVPN is rated number one by CNET and Wired magazine. So take back control of your life online and secure your data with a top VPN solution available, ExpressVPN. And if you go to expressvpn.com/TYT, you can get 3 extra months for free with this exclusive link just for TYT fans. That's expressvpn.com/TYT. Check it out today.
When we come back.
We hope you're enjoying this free clip from the Young Turks. If you want to get the whole show and more exclusive content while supporting independent media, become a member at tyt.com/join today. In the meantime, enjoy this free segment.
All right, back on the Young Turks. Onja writes in, you've got to hand it to Trump. He might be the worst president ever, but he's also the most quotable. Well, that's true. It's very strong quotes.
Yeah, use the right hyphens.
Yeah.
Okay.
Simon says, too damn strong, TYT. Thank you, Simon. Mm. These are all members, by the way, tyt.com/join to become a member. Nomad Princess 123 says, I'm going to on holiday next week and I'm stressed about how I'm going to catch up with all my TYT shows when I get back. As it turns out, I eat, sleep, and dream TYT. What have you done to me? Sorry, Nomad Princess. Last one, look, a squirrel writes in. Wow, first they loosen up regulations on slaughterhouses, now seafood tainted due to climate change. Another reason to go vegan.
Oh, bravo.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Yeah, good point, good point. All right, what's next?
Okay, let's have a little fun, sort of. Okay. We'll see. Each Fox host is having to decide how are they going to deal with the fact that it looks like Donald Trump has potentially committed a serious crime. They're dealing with it in different ways. Geraldo apparently is going all in, as you'll see.
This is going to be what the impeachment is all about. Maybe one or two little other things fall out. So it's going to be the president of the United States in a conversation that was intercepted by a rotten snitch. I'd love to whap him, but that's another story. Imagine this poor president, his whole tenure in office has been marked by snitches and rats and backstabbers.
Yep.
It's amazing how he functions at all.
Okay, so we're gonna get into the substance of that, but I think a lot of people hear that he wants to whap the rotten snitch or rat, and they think, well, what does that even mean? So JR was able to dig up some archival footage of a rotten rat getting whapped. So I'm told he was apparently hit by a chair because he has led a ridiculous life.
Yeah. Well, a lot of us have led ridiculous lives.
Have you been hit by a chair thrown at you?
Probably. Okay. But anyway, so I thought you guys were going to go with archival footage from like an old movie. Why? How dare you, mister? I ought to whap you on the nose.
Such a weird thing. And yeah. So first of all, obviously, that is going directly to Donald Trump. The talk about snitches and things like that, that's just what Donald Trump wants to hear. And second of all, like some people have been saying, that phone call's not as bad as you libs are saying. It's not like he's talking like a mobster or something. And Geraldo's like, yeah, I can fill in the gaps.
Yeah. I mean, look, Geraldo's literally saying, snitches get stitches.
Yeah.
Right? You know, we're gonna do violence on you. And like, and they keep talking about the good old days, and they have the hats that say "Make America Great Again." Remember when Donald Trump in a campaign rally said about a protester who, by the way, was African American, "Oh, in the good old days, they would have carried him out on a stretcher."
Yeah,
right. And so the constant references to violence, and you're right, he's definitely trying to get in good with the president for the next couple of weeks that he's still president. And Geraldo, if you didn't catch it right in the beginning there, because there was. It wasn't super clear. He said, imagine this poor president, this whole tenure in office marked by snitches and rats and backstabbers, etc. So that's that's like served on a silver platter for Trump, going, oh, Trump's like, oh, that's so true. Oh my God, poor me. My dad only gave me $413 million. And then Hillary Clinton gave me the presidency. Poor me, I can't catch a break. And now, just when I'd only committed 817 crimes, I got caught on the last one. The other 816 I got away with. Oh, woe is me.
The other naked fact about that little riff that Geraldo was doing, in addition to him serving it up to Donald Trump clearly, is that he could have been describing the Obama presidency, which was marked, as you know, by all kinds of leaks. And Obama couldn't wake up in the morning without getting vilified by Fox News Channel and other conservative media outlets. So it's sort of weird to me. They had such a big problem with Obama. Remember, during at least during the Obama administration, that became a huge priority for them. I mean, and it's one that they shouldn't even be proud of. I mean, they did some things along the way that were really bad. But my point is, this idea somehow that Donald Trump is the first guy to ever have to live in the executive branch with leaks and being vilified on the outside, please. How about the last president? Yeah, remember the black guy who you wouldn't even give a break to suggest that he was an American citizen? I mean, it was just, it was laughable. Geraldo's little riff there on so many levels is just bankrupt of any reason.
Before we go to the substance, I want to say one more thing that's important here, guys. Look, backstabbers is arguable. You say, hey, that guy betrayed him. Okay, fine. But snitches and rats are referring to people who work with law enforcement and who told about your illegal activities. Now, if you're a gangster or a mobster, you might think, well, that's terrible. It's breaking our moral code. Our moral code is we get to break your kneecaps and we steal your money and we threaten your life. But if you report that to the police, then you're a bad person, right? But for the rest of us, snitches and rats are people who work with law enforcement to protect others from law breaking. Now, you wouldn't say that if you didn't think that the guy was guilty. So, for example, let's say that people leaked about what was happening at the Young Turks. Okay, you could say, hey, they betrayed, they backstabbed or something. But I wouldn't say that there were snitches or rats unless I had done it. Do you see what I'm saying? A snitch is someone who told on you about something you did do. It wouldn't occur to even call them snitches unless you did it. If they made up something, Dave Rubin, I wouldn't call him a snitch. I'd say preposterous. That's a total lie. That didn't happen.
Yeah.
You see? But Fox News audience is enraptured. And they're like, oh yeah, those no good dirty snitches. They ought to be whapped. Yeah, that's what you should do for cooperating with cops who I love.
Yeah. Why don't we get just a little bit more? another attempt to cover up for what Donald Trump did. Here is Geraldo's narrative.
Well, a lot of people say he's not perfect, but many, especially conservatives, are going to say he's better than the alternative, which would be Elizabeth Warren or Joe Biden.
I've known him forever. And he's filled with you hear the other network says 11,000 lies and 15,000 lies. He's a real estate guy, and it was filled with braggadocio. I could just see him.
Hey.
And that phone call to the Ukrainian president reminded me of him selling a real estate building someplace. Hey, we do this. And right. By the way, you do that. And I could just see him in the stream of consciousness. Hey, Zell, what's up, buddy?
But what is that? Is that a defense?
No, that's absolutely not a defense. That was bizarre.
But when he was a real estate guy, he'd break deals. He'd say, you do this for me and I do that for you. But that's the crime we're talking about, that he told the Ukrainian president, you do this for me, dig up dirt on my political opponent, and I do this for you. That's the crime. You can't do that with a foreign country.
So you're saying that the braggadocio defense isn't going to work?
It wasn't even braggadocio. It was, as Cenk says, it was deal making. It was illegal, underhanded deal making. It was a shakedown. That's what it was. So it wasn't even braggadocio. Yeah. Braggadocio is what he's doing when he goes, hey, by the way, to remind you about my electoral college victory. I mean, that's right. My biggest inauguration crowd in history. That's braggadocio.
Yeah. Also lying.
Yeah, I think also that we might have found a worse defender of Donald Trump than Rudy Giuliani. Nice job, Geraldo.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, why don't we move on to something very different? We talk a lot here about income inequality, how bad it is in America. Well, apparently it's been getting worse, reaching record levels. The gap between the richest and the poorest US households is now the largest it's been in the past 50 years. despite the median.
We went to the Giuliani story.
I apologize. What?
Weren't we doing Giuliani?
Oh, you want Giuliani first? Okay.
Oh, sorry about that, guys. Sorry.
That's okay. Okay. I see. The poor have to wait. Okay, fine. Yeah. No, that's fine. We can get through Giuliani quickly. Okay.
I didn't mean to snitch on John.
Exactly. No, but I had actually messed up, so it was true.
In this case, yeah.
Okay, so let's move to Giuliani. Rudy Giuliani, a big defender of the president, not necessarily an effective one. He keeps throwing other people and, in fact, departments of the federal government under the bus, and also implicating himself in even worse actions than we had previously thought. Let's get to a little bit of Giuliani's recent attempts to clarify the record.
Let's show them. Let's show them. They're dated before Trump's call with the Ukrainian president and involved correspondence with Ambassador Volker, who is the U.S. special rep to Ukraine. Now, what is the significance of these? And are you, Rudy, concerned that you're unnecessarily dragging, his name into this?
Who? Whose name?
Volker's name.
Well, yes, but Volker. Well, he should step forward and explain what he did. The whistleblower falsely alleges that I was operating on my own. Well, I wasn't operating on my own. I went to meet Mr. Zelensky's aide at the request of the State Department. 15 memos make that clear.
So, do you guys understand what's happening there? Not only are the rats leaving the ship, they're starting to fight one another. So Giuliani is saying, hey man, don't put me in jail. The State Department made me do it. And he, in fact, the other night put up his one time a phone, another time an iPad on screen. And then finally he sent it to the Fox News producers and they made a graphic out of it and put it up saying, this is the State Department sending me text telling me to go to Ukraine. Apparently the State Department is livid about that. We got more details. Basically they're saying, I'm not going to prison, you're going to prison. Now, if you hadn't done anything wrong, would you go around going, it wasn't me, it was them, it was them, it wasn't me? Like, let's say that you scored the winning touchdown in the Super Bowl. Would you go, it wasn't me, it was him? No, you say, hey, that was me, hey, thank you guys, I appreciate it, right? Well, if you threw the interception or you committed the crime, you would go, hey, State Department made me do it, right? Why are you saying the State Department made you do it if you're proud of it?
Yeah.
Oops.
Yeah, and we've got a little bit more video of him. As you're watching these last two videos, and this should already be clear if you've been watching Rudy Giuliani throughout this week and earlier too. If in normal times, this is not the sort of person that would still be doing work for the government. He can't, they bring him on TV because he's technically the president of the lawyer of the president. But he can't put himself together. He's floundering, he's bringing out his phone and doing weird things. He's a person who is falling apart before our very eyes. But unfortunately, because we have a child as president, this is the sort of sycophant that he surrounds himself with. So here's a little bit more of Giuliani attempting to explain the relationship between him, the State Department, and the trip to Ukraine.
Is your relationship with Pompeo good? Are you guys good? Because Maggie Haberman, who apparently knows everything at the New York Times, she said that Pompeo is unhappy with you. Is that true? I know both of you. I haven't heard about this except from Maggie Haberman.
I actually think they should all congratulate me. Because if it weren't for me, nobody would have uncovered and faced massive corruption by the Vice President of the United States. In fact, I'm a legitimate whistleblower. I have uncovered corruption that this Washington swamp has been covering up effectively for years. And his State Department, asked me to do this. So, Mike, if you're unhappy with me, I'm sorry, but I accomplished my mission. I have no idea if he's unhappy with me or not. I frankly don't care. I'm the president's lawyer.
No, that was amazing.
So
weird. God, I love that.
So weird.
I love that so much. So, let's break that down. Do you understand what Lauren Groom was trying to get at? She was saying, this Maggie Haberman from the fake news New York Times is saying you guys are mad at each other, but go ahead, Rudy, right? Rudy's supposed to say, oh no, that's not true, fake news. Of course, we're all on the same team, but he doesn't. Instead, he, first of all, in his senility slash whatever is going on in his head, doesn't understand the softball that Ingram just gave him. And then secondly goes, hey, if he's mad with me, I'm the hero here. Literally said that later. I'm the whistleblower and he should be, so if that's up to him. And you can see Laura Ingraham's face like starting to wilt, like, no, you weren't supposed to go there. So this is an epic disaster unfolding right in front of your eyes. Even Fox News can't stop the bleeding.
Yeah, and he says there at the end, I'm the president's lawyer. And if you watch, she was on Ingram a couple days ago, and she was trying to get into why would they send you? She again teeing it up like you've got to have coordinated your message with the president. You've got to have something, but he didn't have anything. So again, if you actually cared about corruption in Ukraine, you would come up with instances of it that had to do with actual Ukrainians, not just a list of your vendettas against presidential candidates on the Democratic side. And if you were trying to deal with Ukrainian corruption, you would send a diplomat to deal with that, not the personal lawyer of the president. He doesn't seem to get that that's super weird, and everybody gets it, but not him, and that also is weird. On top of that, we're gonna have more video, but he spoke with a reporter on the phone, and came across much more rational, saying things like, it is impossible that the whistleblower is a hero and I'm not, and I will be the hero. You know that you are on the precipice of greatness when you shout at a reporter, I will be the hero. These morons, when this is over, I will be the hero. If this guy's a whistleblower, then I'm a whistleblower too. You should be happy for your country that I uncovered this.
Okay. So
the last thing I'll just say about Giuliani, because I think it's true of a few people in this administration, is that they are drunk on the spotlight. And as John said, they're because of his manic style and because of the fact that many of them will say a lot of things that just appear not to have any sort of rational sense, but just it's increasingly just flailing. I mean, verbal flailing. They become good talk show guests. They become good people to book on these various shows. And he is at the epicenter of the presidency in this case. But I think what you see in Giuliani and what you just saw in that quote and what you see on television played out over and over and over again is a guy who is drunk on the spotlight. He feels relevant and he feels heard. And unfortunately, you know, the reality just doesn't match that spotlight because he's in real trouble.
Yeah, but guys, he's also lost his mind. Like, you know how big my ego is. Right? I don't think anybody would dispute that. We kid around about it on the show all the time. If I came on the show and yelled, I will be the hero, you'd be like, oh, okay, well, Jake lost his mind and we're done with it, right? I mean, so.
Like inauguration, Bernie gets inaugurated. Oh, Bernie's the hero? I will be the hero.
I'm the guy who got Bernie elected.
Okay, and so even me, one of the biggest egomaniacs in media, would never say that because that's insane.
Right? Do you want to know what else you might do if you were the biggest egomaniac? Uh-huh. And this just stinks of like weird things about Michael Cohen. This is from the reporter. When I last saw Rudy Giuliani, his most pressing concern was that he'd been locked out of his Instagram account. Giuliani, the former mayor of New York City and current personal attorney to President Donald Trump, had a young woman named Audra who told me she had won the Hotties for Trump Reddit channel's Miss Deplorable contest 3 years in a row.
Oh, I was wondering who won that.
There to assist him. How many years have they been doing it? That's all of them, I think.
Well, to be fair, it's a big deal when you get locked out of your Instagram account.
That would be unfortunate.
Yeah, well, I wish there was a whistleblower on that. So, and by the way, that's not how whistleblowers work. It's like, if I said, hey, I disagree with Joe Biden's policy on the crime bill or the war on drugs, aha, I am the whistleblower. No, that's already public information, and I'm politically opposed to Joe Biden because I support the progressives. That's not a whistleblower, that's just stating your opinion.
Yeah.
Okay, but keep in mind, guys, we see a lunatic, even Laura Ingraham's like, ugh. A couple of nights ago, she shooed him off the air. She said, oh, you gotta go take care of your voice, it's too hoarse, you gotta go, okay? Like, even Laura Ingraham can see this guy is mentally unstable, but the next day she brings him on, she's like, oh, that was good ratings though.
That's
okay,
the point,
right? Right. And she brings him back in.
Once she had him on the beginning, he left, then he forced himself back onto the show later to yell that the other person on the show was a moron.
Yeah, and he's like, have you seen my text? You can't see my Instagram account, but my text, okay. But Trump.
The deep state locked down my TikTok.
But Trump sees that and goes, that's my guy.
Yeah.
That's how it's, I mean, it is the sequel to Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah. We got time for this last story?
Yeah, let's do it real quick.
Okay. So we've got all these notes about income inequality. I am a whistleblower on income inequality. I will be the hero. So we're gonna talk about it. Okay. When it comes to the gap between the rich and the poor, things are getting worse in America, to record levels, actually. The gap between the richest and the poorest US households is now the largest it's been in the past 50 years, despite the median US income hitting our new record in 2018, according to new data from the Census Bureau. US income inequality was significantly higher in 2018 than in 2017, the federal agency says in its latest American Community Survey report. So it has been going up year after year after year. We are now reaching levels we haven't seen for half a century. That despite the fact that we have seen headlines like Donald Trump saying, how could I lose the election? How could I be impeached when you're all rich? But that is because politicians, a lot of the media, they live in bubbles where they don't understand that the rich are getting richer in some cases, but the poor are also getting poorer. There are some bits of good news, but first more bad. Three of the states with the biggest gains in inequality from 2017 to 2018 were places with large pockets of wealth, California, Texas, and Virginia. The other six were primarily in the heartland, Alabama, Arkansas, Kansas, Nebraska, New Hampshire, and New Mexico. And so we are seeing it in some of the biggest states, some of the richest states, but also all over the place, actually.
Yeah, well, so it makes sense that it's all over the place because the tax cuts, 83% of them eventually go to the rich. And so, and millionaires got on average a $61,000 tax cut every single year, $61,000. Now, the median income is $62,000. So they got a tax cut every year as large as the average American makes. Now, the median income went up slightly, but it's not going up as much as it used to under Obama. But it's deceptive because it isn't actually going up for you. The reason the median income is going up is because the rich have so much more money that it's tilting the scales. Like the numbers at the very top are bringing the number artificially up when it's not actually going up for the average American. So it was an enormous giveaway to the rich, and income inequality was already bad, and they made it significantly worse. And so if you were a Trump supporter who thought he was going to deliver for you, well, the jury's in. He didn't. You're in worse shape than you were before. The rich are in better shape than they were before. If you're worried about the global elitist, they're laughing at you. They're sitting in their fancy clubs and yachts going, the idiots voted for us. And they're toasting their champagne, which they can have plenty of because they got an extra $61,000 each every single year, saying these schmucks, their salaries go down, ours go up. And we told them that Trump was going to end the corruption. And more toast. So the numbers are in. You got screwed. You got had. If you thought the system was rigged, you were right. This is how they rigged it.
And the reason Trump and media crow about the economy being so good is because for Trump and a lot of people in the mainstream media, frankly, they're doing well. I mean, the everybody they can see and everybody they can throw a rock and hit is a jillionaire. Certainly in Trump land and in the GOP, it's you really feel as though that's sort of the landed aristocracy. And so they benefit the most from all of this.
I want to jump ahead just a little bit because it's getting so bad, obviously, that inside of the Democratic primary, people seem to understand you have to do something about this. And so there are wealth taxes being proposed by both Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren. Really quick, we can't go through all the details, but we're going to bring it up comparing the two plans. You can see a little graphic there. Both of them have a tax on wealth. Bernie Sanders is at the high end much higher, obviously, and would raise about twice as much money. So it's a bigger tax on wealth than currently being proposed by Elizabeth Warren. But it's not super surprising that both of them want to do something about it. It's who is starting to talk about it now that's actually a little bit more interesting. I think the panel might get a kick out of this. I saw this headline, Biden advisors weigh new Wall Street tax as Warren Sanders pitch aggressive levies on wealthy people. But what does that actually mean? Does that mean that Joe Biden is proposing an even more ambitious wealth tax? No. The plan under consideration from Biden's advisors could tax financial transactions such as the sale of stocks and bonds, one of the people said. The people spoke on the condition of anonymity because they were not authorized to speak publicly, which is definitely the sign that you're very proud of the plans that you're working on. But even that is nothing like a wealth tax. That's what I would consider to be relatively moderate in comparison to what progressives are pushing for at this point.
The financial transaction tax was supported by Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders
forever ago.
Yeah, I mean, decades ago. And so Joe Biden, as usual, is like, oh, turns out we stopped working with segregationists, and maybe we should tax the rich just a little bit, though. Don't leak it, because that'll hurt my donors. Remember when he went to meet with donors, he told them, don't worry, nothing will fundamentally change. Mm-hmm. But so why are you now doing a financial transaction tax, which would at least tweak your donors? Because you looked at the polling and realized, I'm out of step with the times. Corn Pop isn't here to defend me anymore. So now he slipped to second in both Iowa and New Hampshire. Elizabeth Warren's the new leader in those two states. She's starting to catch him at the national level. He's slipping badly. And when he looks issue by issue, what Democrats are saying, this is a story we didn't get to a couple of days ago. Democratic voters are saying they want big change, radical change. They don't want reform around the edges. And Biden's main message is don't worry, nothing will change. And so now as he sees the election slipping away from him, he says, oh yeah, we could do something about the rich, but don't tell anybody. Okay, yeah, not overly convincing. By the way, are there progressives that are actually looking to do something about not just income inequality in addressing the very little taxes that the rich pay, but also taking care of the rest of Americans? Yes. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez just introduced a program called A Just Society, which would actually help people that are living in poverty.
Yeah.
Now, there's a lot of talk about the rich, there's a lot of talk about the middle class, almost no one talks about the poor. And so here comes AOC saying, no, we've got to look out for all Americans. Gee, I wonder who's on your side and who's on the side of the wealthy. Can you figure it out yet?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I would say especially, we just found out that the next debate is coming up in like less than 3 weeks. This big report about income inequality, I would not be surprised if Bernie Sanders talks about it on the stage. That's my prediction.
Yep. Okay, thank you guys. We got a whole new wonderful power panel coming up for you guys. The cop who shot the unarmed black man, I know what you're thinking, which one? The one in Dallas, the female cop. Really interesting, important developments that are telling in her case. We're gonna share that with you guys as well. Everybody check out the damage report. Everybody check out The Edge with Mark Thompson, wonderful podcast.
Yeah, new episode up, just went up yesterday with a guy who's a career homeless guy by choice all his life. Anyway, I know we're late, but please check it out, yeah.
Hmm. All right, awesome, thank you guys. We'll be right back.
Corn Pop was a bad dude.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Young Turks. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, Cenk Uygur, and I'll see you soon.